Hello, soul sisters. Welcome back to the Pretty Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Jayani, and today I actually have a bonus episode where I was a guest on someone else's podcast. So my friend Alana, who some of you guys might remember from the episode on why men are amazing, she has a podcast as well, and she invited me to speak on it. And we actually got to talk about a really cool topic that I've never discussed before, at least like publicly. And that was about being the first generation in your family in America, and just what that's like, and growing up kind of in America but not feeling like an American, and all the different implications and experiences that you have. And we talked about our relationships with our parents and the soul journey of our lineages. And yeah, so I really liked this conversation, and I'm glad I got to like express this, because it's something I've never actually shared, but I think is actually something that's more profound about my story than I even realize sometimes. So I hope you guys enjoy listening. And without further ado, here is the lovely conversation that I had on the Ahana podcast on the first generation experience.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ahana podcast. I honestly do not remember what episode we're on, but today I have Jayani with me, and yeah, welcome to the Ahana podcast.
Hi! Just kidding. Thank you for having me. This is my second podcast I've ever done, maybe third, I can't really remember.
Okay.
But either way, hi.
So we both have parents who come from other countries, and so today I kind of just wanted to talk about our experiences as first generation in the United States. There's a lot of very common patterns that I've noticed, that we both noticed from other people we've talked to who have like just very common experiences when your parents are from another country and you're growing up here in America. So yeah, hope you guys enjoy it. But yeah, do you want to start? Like, what are some of the things you feel like you noticed? Like, is there anything, any pattern you feel like you comes to mind?
Like a negative pattern?
Just like anything in general.
Yeah, I mean, like the obsession with like what other people think of their kids, and like comparing us to other people's kids, and like getting good grades and success and like all that kind of stuff, like the obsession with like
academia
and
reputation,
and like I don't know, just like how my parents always say like school is not for making friends, because I really wanted friends. Like I was like so, yeah, I just really wanted friends when I was little. That was like my biggest priority, which I think is a lot of kids' priorities, and yeah, I feel like that's normal. But my parents always be like, oh, school's not for friends, it's for learning, and like all you have to do is just like go study, and that's all that matters. And I'm just like, I just always thought that was so weird.
It's too extreme. It's like there is the other extreme where like kids completely like disregard all learning, and then they like completely mess up their lives. But then there's like too much too, and then that's when like you see kids kind of go off the deep end sometimes, is when they're too extreme. But that, yeah, I've noticed that a lot too. And I've also noticed just like a general sense of like guilt, and like we were talking about just like narcissistic tendencies in general within parents, and how like it's like a lot of first generation kids I talk to, well, adults, just like first generation people I talk to, have parents who have like narcissistic qualities that make us very people-pleasing and very like
lack of boundaries.
Exactly.
Really having a sense of self or feeling like you can be your own person.
And you were saying the emotional incest stuff, where like, yeah, that's the lack of boundary stuff.
Yep. For enmeshment, sure. And just, yeah, very codependent.
very, like if there's a sense that the family identity is being threatened because of what you believe or because of what you want to do, there's, like, a mental breakdown that happens. Or there's, like, a...
Yep. Yeah, because everyone puts... basically, it's, like, I feel like they're, like, the parents see their kids as, like, an extension of them. So everything is a reflection on them, even if it has nothing to do with them. Even if it's just, like, your own choice for yourself, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you love or your passion or your hobbies or whatever, it's, like, everything has to be about what they want and what they think is acceptable or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really know how to be your own person. Like, I remember even one time my dad, like, literally yelled at me because I decided to take Spanish instead of French. And he was like, what about my needs? I was like, he literally yelled at me, like, seriously, and, like, got mad in the car because he noticed that I had chosen Spanish. And I was just like, what about your needs? What the? Like,
yeah.
It's nothing to do with you. It's literally just a class in high school. Like, calm down. And it's like, because he spoke French, he wanted me to learn French. And it's just like...
Yeah, there's like a lot of like...
I'm allowed to speak or to learn whatever I want to learn. Like,
even politics. I mean, I know politics goes beyond just like being first generation. Like, I feel like politics is a really touchy topic for people no matter what. But like, I don't know. It's just like anytime... you go against what their beliefs are, it just feels like there's a complete fallout, and there's like a very childish way of handling emotions, and there's like a, and I think that like growing up among other Americans who are not first generation and like seeing the differences in the dynamics of their families, it's like you almost develop this like ability to have like a filter for yourself where it's like you know something's like different mm-hmm. at like in your family, but you just like filter it out when you're with other people. And then it's like, I don't know, did you ever have like friends at your house, for instance?
Very rarely.
Hmm.
Unless they were other African kids, they like friends from school, like I don't even think I remember any friend from school ever coming over. And I always like went to their houses. But I always felt weird when my parents were around my friends. Like, I just felt like, I don't know. It just, and also the thing too, it's like when you're growing up, especially, well, at least with me, like I grew up in an all white, mainly white school. And I was like one of very few black, let alone African kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt insecure on the fact that my parents had an accent and like just certain things like, that I knew were different than, like, the other parents around. So I never really wanted them to come over. I'd always want to go to their house. Hmm. And, yeah, I just... they never came over, really.
Interesting. I remember, like, growing up, too, having, like, yeah, like, weird cultural, like, differences or, like, different ways of doing things that would make me feel embarrassed sometimes. Like... I even remember this one time at camp, like we had a day where we needed to dress up in like circus outfits or something, and like my mom put me in like a Pocahontas outfit because they didn't know what else to do.
Aww, that's actually, you'd be a pretty Pocahontas.
Thank you, but it was just so funny because it was like completely not what, like, what it was, like, what yeah. it was supposed to be. And I don't know, I just remember, like, going to my friend's house, and, like, her mom, like, saw me and, like, was, like, almost in horror, and she was just like, this is not what they meant. And then, like, she, like, gave me clothes to, like, change into, to show up to, like, it's such a dumb problem to have, but for some reason that moment just, like, stuck out to me. I don't know why, but, like, and then there's other things, too, just, like, I just remember, like, not really feeling totally connected to, like, Americans, or just,
yeah.
like, even though I am American.
You don't feel like you are compared to other people.
It's like, or you feel like, yeah, like, because I feel like I still kind of associate Americans with white people and not with, like, other races, even though, like, obviously we're all Americans.
Yeah, it feels weird to say I'm American.
But
even though I was born here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very American, but, like, I definitely felt like I couldn't connect all the way with, like, the people I was growing up around.
Yeah, like your friends and stuff?
Or? Yeah, my friends. And, I mean, I love them, my friends, but, like, there was something that I felt like was still different or, like, still kind of, like...
Yeah, there's, like, a little bit of a disconnect, just doesn't fully feel, like, comfortable 100%.
Right. I almost feel like I was more emotional or something, or more, like, sensitive, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think we just are navigating, like, a lot of different things, because they don't have that experience of feeling kind of, like, the oddball, because everything is just... Like, what they're used to is what their reality is. Like, or what is seen as normal here is what their reality is. But, like, our reality was different because we had a lot of things that weren't necessarily seen as normal or that didn't really... The rest of the country or the rest of the population can't relate to. Like, yeah. So I think it just makes, like, a disconnect. Because it's, like, I'm eating African food and, like, watching African movies. And there's just... things culturally that I know about or believe in or whatever that is only from my culture that they can't relate to.
Mm-hmm.
But I can relate to them because I'm... So, yeah, it's weird. It's like, yeah. I'm like... I don't know. It's just, like, a very interesting dynamic.
It is. But, I mean, like, now I love it, though. Like, I love being American, and I love having this experience of, like, knowing where my family comes from and, like, visiting there and, like, knowing the... You were saying that it's, like, it was, like, a quantum leap for your parents to move from Cameroon to America.
Yeah.
It's, like, it is a quantum leap. It's, like, I can't believe that I'm here sometimes. Sometimes I think about that. Like, the majority of my family is in India.
And oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm just like, I can't believe that, like, I was born in America. Like, that has completely changed the whole trajectory of, like, my parents' lineage, just me being here.
Yeah, you know? It does. It's, like, completely changes, like I was saying earlier, like, it completely changes, like, the legacy of your family on the planet, because it's like everybody was in one space. Mm-hmm. And having a different experience, and then they move to America, and then it's, like, a completely different game-changing, like, you know, future, like, change. And I'm so thankful that my parents moved here. And they actually moved here separately. They met here in the States. But they're from, like, 2 hours away from each other.
That's so wild.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's so interesting.
Like, my dad was living in Ohio, and my mom was living in New Jersey, and then they, like, met, I think it was at a party. I don't remember the exact details, but I think they met, like, at a party, and then they were, like, freaked out that they both were from the same country and the same, like, area, like, only a couple hours away.
Yeah, that's, like, what are the chances? Seriously.
Right? I know. So wild. But, yeah, like, I'm very thankful now. I don't really know. I guess I'm feeling more and more, like, pride in being American and, like, embracing that more. Because I do see the opportunities and everything that I had available to me and that got to have the privilege of having in my life for the simple fact that I was born here and how so many people don't have so much that I had that was just like not even anything that I took for granted that I didn't even realize was like a huge privilege. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like I really want to go back to... Well, I've been there once when I was really young, but I don't remember it. But I want to go back to Cameroon and just, like, familiarize myself with it more now as an adult.
Absolutely. Do you still have family there?
Well, most of my family, like, moved here. Like, my parents came, and then they brought all their siblings. Mm-hmm. So, like, all my aunts, my mom's sisters and brothers, except for, like, I think 3 of them weren't here. And then my dad's sisters... and brothers, except for a couple of them, weren't here. So majority of them lived here from, like, the time I was young. And then my grandparents also moved here, besides, like, one of my grandpa died. But yeah, like, so most of them, at least the immediate, like, their brothers and sisters moved here. And then my two grandmas moved here, and then one of my grandpas moved here. So almost all of them, except for, like, I think I only... Well, the thing is that my grandpa on my mom's side had 29 kids.
That... What?
29? Well, yeah, I'm gonna tell you, he had four wives.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he had four wives. Like, well, he had four wives at the same time.
He created his own village.
Yeah, he had four wives at the same time. Like, my grandma was, I think, the second one. Like, the second. Mm-hmm. Like, she was, like, I don't know, they had in the, like, hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, he had four wives, 29 kids. Both my grandmas had 9 kids each.
Wow.
And... Yeah, so...
That's intense.
Yeah, right? Isn't that weird? Like, my grandparents on my dad's side, they were only married to each other. But my, you know, my other grandpa had... He was very wealthy, and, like, it was obviously seen like a sign of wealth to have a large family. And he had multiple wives, which also was, like, a sign of wealth. And he had all this land. And he was, like, a big deal there, like... I, like, realized that as I got older, because I used to watch, like, home videos, and I just remember, like, certain photo albums and stuff where my mom's wedding and stuff, and it's, like, they were, like, on the news and, like, in the newspaper. Basically, like, you know, like, that it was a big deal for my mom to be the first daughter to get married, and that they had, like, a huge, like, really long parade, like, mm-hmm. to the reception after they got married, and there was, like, all these people, the whole, like, village and country, like, came out to support it, and mm-hmm. it was, like, a huge deal.
Mm.
My mom was, like, had, like, a glamorous dream wedding for
wow
where she was from.
Yeah,
they had, like, limos, and it was, like, a crazy... I was, like, looking back, I'm, like, wait, that was actually, like, a big deal wedding. Like, my parents' wedding, but... Yeah, but it's, like, because my grandpa was so, like... you know, a big deal there. And I don't know how I got on the topic of that, but basically just like it's a very different experience. Like, I think if I was, I mean, I might have had a good life, 'cause like I said, my grandpa was pretty well off. I don't know how it would have been, but it wouldn't have been like I said, there's so many toxic dynamics, like it wouldn't have been a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I had the chance to come into wholeness like way earlier in life than I would have.
Yeah, like there. I feel like the biggest differences, like we were talking about it, like how the biggest differences in America versus like other places is that over here, oh, I also forgot to mention, like, aside from like freedom and independence, we value expression. Like, America really values that. Like, we really value, like, people expressing themselves in whatever mm-hmm. ways they can. Whereas, like, it seems like, at least in Indian culture, it's less about the individual and more about, like, the collective, almost. It's like everyone has to kind of fall in line.
Or, yeah.
Like, here it's like everything's about... you, like, it's like people, I feel like people have more creative freedom here, or like they feel more free creatively to like
yeah.
experiment and like do different things, because but then it also ends up in extreme ways too, where we experiment with like very controversial things, you know, like
mm-hmm. yeah, I feel like almost every ethnic culture is very community centered, but it's like codependent mm-hmm. and like toxic. And then like American, more like white, like culture is very individualistic and
mm-hmm. out for yourself.
And then it's like self centered and narcissistic. So yeah, it's very there's definitely toxic extremes on both sides.
Yeah,
but yeah. They definitely like there wasn't like a emphasis on like your passion, your dreams, like. What you love.
It's not about what you want.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, about like just, what's going to help the family the
yeah,
most.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not anything about like you and your own. I think that's actually part of the appeal to come to America, because it's like at least, even though like they had a very limited idea of what was acceptable to pursue, there was still at least the ability to pursue like your own thing, like whether it's being a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah, and our parents come from countries that are not as affluent as America, and they developed such a strong work ethic, because, like, your parents did well for themselves, my parents did well for themselves, and it's like...
Yeah, immigrants are, like, killing it. Immigrants are always, like, the most successful people.
Because they have the strongest work ethic. They come from, like, the most trying conditions, and so they have mm-hmm. to develop an inner strength in themselves that, like, when they get here, it's like, they just take off.
Yeah, I think that they also appreciate what Americans take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they appreciate the opportunities. They appreciate the ability to work and make their own money. They appreciate, like, the ability to be self-sufficient and, like, all these things that, like, it's just seen as, like, oh, whatever, so no one really cares that much here. But if you come from a country that that's not the norm and you don't feel like you have that freedom, like, when you go somewhere that you can make something out of yourself, you take that opportunity. Yeah. And they, like, do not take that for granted. Whereas, like, people here take everything that we have for granted
mm-hmm.
and don't realize, you know, how good we have it. And, like, people from other countries, like, they are not, they're, like, very aware of how good that they have it now. And so they want to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Especially, like, that's why they're so obsessed with, like, school and
mm-hmm.
getting a degree and all these, like, you know, being a doctor or a lawyer, because that's the most, like, pinnacle of what you could be, like, the pinnacle of success, like,
mm-hmm.
of what you can do, like, move to America and become a doctor, like, that's, like, you literally, like, hit the jackpot,
yeah,
basically, like,
yeah.
in their eyes, you
mm-hmm.
know? So I get it, but I also, because I grew up here, the first generation, like, American, and it's more kind of normal to, like, do your own thing.
And not have such a specific idea of success and, like, what
yeah.
it looks like. Like, here, like, it's so interesting because I feel like, what I've realized as a first-generation kid is that, like, my spirituality feels the most important to me. And, like, I almost feel like the freedom that I have here is what I value the most, like, more than the, like, more than wealth or more than, like, I don't know.
Success.
Yeah. I honestly don't even know if I care about me. I honestly, like, I don't know if I really care about me being successful in a traditional sense, but I just love my freedom. I love having the freedom to create a lifestyle that feels the best and the most healthy for myself. I love that I don't have to, like, work a 9-to-5 job if I don't want to, and that
right.
I can create other
yeah.
things for myself. Yeah, like, I'm sure that to some of my family in India, what I'm doing right now here is not successful at all.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love here is that I just have the freedom to do it. I have the independence to do it. It's almost like I feel free to not prioritize the needs of other people as much
yeah.
as my own here. So it is more selfish. I do feel more selfish, like
mm-hmm.
more freedom to be selfish here.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it works out for everyone's benefit, honestly, because I feel like the roles that I put myself in here naturally out of my own free choices make me feel the best. And then it makes me, like, have good value, like, provide good value in the things that I am doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's more balanced and, like, from a healthier place, not from a place of codependency and feeling obligated to do everything and obligated to please other people.
Right.
Yeah. That's definitely a huge, I see that similarity all the time. Like you just feel like you're just have to go along with, like, your family's expectations. And then, yeah, breaking out of that can be a process. I think there's so much conditioning in, like, ethnic families and first generation families to, like, I don't know. It's just,
there's a lot of psychological cleansing that needs to happen. Like, a lot
yeah,
of psychological,
like, unlearning, like, that, like, I'm not responsible for the rest of my family, like,
yeah, it's like coming to America, it's like we were talking about that too, how, like, our parents come to America still with their with the mindset of their respective cultures. Mm-hmm. But then we grow up in America, and then we adapt to American mindset and like adapt to American culture. And so we are kind of like the beginning of a new paradigm shift in our own families, where it's like yeah. we are not continuing a certain cycle
that's yeah, we're starting a completely new, like, sense of existence, you know?
It's really
and we're starting from a clean slate that they can't relate to at all. Like,
it's so interesting. Do you ever feel obligated to, like, make it to a certain level for your parents?
Not anymore. Not for my parents, no. Mm-hmm. I want to make it for my own self.
Mm-hmm.
And for my future children. But I don't feel any attachments to needing to do things for my parents or for my family members anymore. But that took a long time to get to, of releasing all of those feelings of obligation. Because I was saying earlier, like, I got so conditioned to be, like, responsible for my parents and stuff. But now I'm at peace, like, with my life. Just feels like it's for me and what naturally comes from it, from that place. If it benefits other people, which it will,
mm-hmm.
then great. But it's not from a place of, like, I have to do this, and if I don't, I'm a failure, and da-da-da-da. It's just kind of like, yeah, it would be nice, and I want to do it, and I know I will be successful, but it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's a completely different energy, because I just feel like, well, I mean, I guess I'm maybe in a unique situation, because I don't have a relationship with my parents. Other people who have the relationship with their parents probably feel more like that, but I think because I don't have them connected to my life at all anymore, I just very much feel like, but like I said earlier, there's things I would like to do just out of my own
desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I get to that place, like, where I can help them. But it would be coming from a space of, like, I'm choosing to and I want to, not I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm really close with my parents at this point, but there's definitely still things that I feel like I can sense are not fully, like, matured in me yet. Like, there's mm-hmm. things that, like, when I'm around them, it's like, I love them so much, and, like, I love the relationship we have, but there's still, like, there's definitely still immaturity in them with, like, the way they handle me having different opinions on certain topics. But, like, but in general, I think, like, getting older has helped a lot. And I also mm-hmm. think that the longer they've been here, the more Americanized they get, and their worldview right. starts to change.
Yeah, I think my parents actually are more validating of, like, being a singer and, like, entertainment industry stuff
mm-hmm.
being more legitimate, like, in the most recent years
mm-hmm.
versus, like, when I was younger, it was like, what are you talking about? That's not even a thing. Like, you have to go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, mm-hmm. Oxford, Cambridge, and you have no choice mm-hmm. in the matter. Like, that's what my dad used to always say to me.
Mm.
Like, because that was his only paradigm of success. And so I think as, like, social media and the internet became, like, a thing, it's like, yeah, people are doing this. People are making 18-year-olds are making six figures on TikToks. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, they're seeing examples of it. Like, okay, it's not just my daughter that wants to do this. Like, there's active people doing it, and they're successful at it, and they're making a living for themselves. They never went to college, you know? Yeah. Or, like, realizing, like, a lot of the successful people that they look up to never went to college, and you can still be successful without that necessarily. I think they would still prefer it, no matter how successful I got, they would still prefer if I had a degree
yeah.
versus not having a degree, because in their mind, it just symbolizes something really, like,
success.
Respectable. Like,
yeah, respectable.
You have a degree, you know?
It's, like, something, it is a very, like foreign mindset almost, like, come to America,
yeah.
get an American education, get that degree. Like, I almost wonder sometimes if, at this point with what's happening within the education system, with, like, all the changes that are being made to, like, the curriculum in terms of social justice topics and stuff like that, like, do you feel like your parents would ever have a negative view on those institutions, or are they always, like,
I don't know if they see that, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they see the what's happening, so probably not.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, that's kind of off topic, but yeah, that whatever.
I mean, like, if they did, I'd be surprised, but I don't know if they have the awareness of, like, what's going on to be able to, like, make that connection.
Do your parents see education as, like, so before they had examples of people to look at on social media, mm-hmm. did your parents consider college to be the only path to success in America?
Yeah, 1,000%. That's why they were so, like, shocked and, like, upset and, like, traumatized over the fact that I dropped out.
That's so interesting.
It's like, this is what you do to be successful.
Yeah. My parents are the same way too, but it's like, that's what's so interesting to me is that I feel like the education that we learn there is not even necessarily, like, depending on what you're studying.
Yeah.
It's not even real.
Very few jobs it actually matters.
Right. Like, I just, unless you are going to become a doctor or to become a lawyer or to become something like, I don't know, even business or something. Yeah. Like to do anything else that's not as practical, it's like, what, like, why is there so much prestige behind that? Because it doesn't mean anything. And I feel like what's so nice about America is that people, like I said, people have so much creative freedom to, like, create their own money-making opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it's incredible.
Well, in the most recent years, like, the last time I talked to them, they were trying to get me to do this training course online that lasted, like, a couple months. And then once you took the course, you were certified in some, like, skill that you could get paid a lot of money for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they started discovering things like that, like, oh, you don't necessarily have to go to college, but you can take this course or whatever. And so I think they're more open to that. But I still think, I mean, I know deep down they still want me to get a degree and become a doctor. Like, And I think they thought for a while that it was just like a phase I was going to eventually grow out of. And then, you know, being a singer and stuff, like entertainment industry stuff is going to be like a phase. And then I'd like come to my senses. And they're always kind of like acting like, okay, are you ready to come to your senses now and go to college? And I'm just like, I don't think you realize, like, like, I'm not, like, this is just not my path. Like, it's just, it's not. And, you know, they just, like, couldn't accept that. So, yeah, but the ironic thing, I'm like, you guys went to college and I don't see you that happy or, like, like, it was just as weird. I'm like, it's, like, all a projection, a lot of it. It's just, like, of what they think it means and all of the significance and self-worth around it. But it's like, you're not even living that out. So why would you think that I'm going to, like, buy into that?
It's, again, from those countries, it's like what they value is the reputation, the image.
Yeah, the reputation is a huge thing.
And image is just, like, the way that other people see you. It's, like,
yeah.
It's not even for you. It's for them.
It's for them and their friends. Mm-hmm. So to be like, oh, my daughter went to this, to this college, and she's a Harvard graduate. Like, that's, like, literally what it's for. It's not even for me at all.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's, like, able to brag. They love, oh, yeah. First generation, like, kids know how much our parents love to brag to other people about the things that we do, but then behind closed doors, they're always comparing us to other kids and telling us that we're not good enough. It's, like, it's the weirdest thing.
That's too funny.
Like, the littlest thing that they can brag about to their friends, like, they just feel so good about. But then it's like, when we're with them, they're always talking down on us. It's like the weirdest, most bizarre experience.
That's too funny. That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's, like, a very common theme, too.
It is. Most definitely is. With that being said, though, like,
oh, wait, I just had a really funny memory of when my brother pierced his ears. My mom, like, lost it. Literally lost it. He was, like, I don't know, 12 or something, and he just randomly, I don't know, kids, random thoughts, ideas, and he just pierced his ears one day. My mom was like, we're gonna be the laughing stock of the community. And she was, like, running around the house crying and screaming. I was like, is it really that big of a deal? Like, calm down. Oh, my God. Like, literally. She was, like, so traumatized. And my brother, like, he's literally a little kid. Like, I don't know. Just stuff so like that that's so superficial. Like, they care about the most superficial shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't even know. So, yeah. Priorities
that's
are
what's
weird.
So interesting. It's like, yeah, it's like, they care so much about what people think, but
they care so
but they don't
much
care
about
what
think.
They don't care about their own experience of life. Like, they don't care about, like...
They don't care what you think about them. They literally just care what other people think about them.
And they
and your family.
And they don't even care if they're enjoying life.
Yeah, I know.
It's so bizarre. But with that being said, though, I love my parents to death, and I'm so grateful that they have provided me with everything they provided me with. Because I'm like, that's the thing, too. So we were talking about that, too, about how another common theme with first-generation kids is that their parents were usually very abusive to our parents. And then so they, like, it totally influences them. And to think about, like, how far... how many generational curses they've broken, like, is so astronomical, I feel like.
When you think about it. I think
just moving here
in of itself was that, because that was, like, breaking the curse and just giving you
an opportunity for something
new. A fresh
new.
Start somewhere where you can change things, exactly. And so that's why sometimes I think that that's just what, like, And I'm not saying I'm asking too much, because I'm not asking too much of things. I'm saying it's, like, basic human decency and, like, whatever. But I also think it could be, like, on a soul level, just further than their soul needed to expand in this life, because they just got to the point they got to, which was a huge milestone. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, that's all. They couldn't go any further than that. It's, like, hey, we came to America, and we changed a lot just from that one choice, but, like, trying to get me to, like, learn how to communicate and have boundaries and emotional intelligence, like, that's just, like, I can't do it. Like, it's just pushing myself too much. I feel like it's, like, on a soul
that's
level, like, what's happening. Exactly. Like, that's, like, it's, like, they're passing the baton to me. And, like, that's why I feel like, on a soul level, kids are the progression of their parents' consciousness. So.
Wow, that's so deep.
But, like, I really feel like it's true. Yeah, like... it's like we kind of pick up where they left off and just expand more. Like,
it's
and
hopefully
each generation, is getting healthier and healthier and more in alignment and more whole and more, you know what I mean, in the truth. But sometimes I feel like I had to let go of the resentment I had towards my parents of why they weren't willing to change certain things. Like, it's like, it's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're literally sacrificing having a relationship with me because you don't want to change these things when you could just change them and they're really easy and we have a relationship. But I think it's just because, like, on a soul level, maybe they just, which this is not like a cop-out or like an excuse, but, like, their huge, like, stretching point was, like, everything they went through coming here. And maybe that's just all they have left in them. Because I don't also know how it feels to be them. Like,
I can't imagine how hard it must be for them, honestly, to, like, have known, to have grown up in one culture and then have to adapt to a whole new culture and have to deal with discrimination
and have an accent
and deal with people, like, treating you bad and, like, and also just not having family support here. Because, like, my parents, like, they didn't have their, like, siblings and their parents around here. Like, they had to build their own support network and system here.
Mm-hmm.
That could not have been easy.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very isolating. Thankfully, within, like, I think 10 years, a lot of my family members were living here. Like, they worked really hard to bring all of their siblings and stuff here. And then there was also actually a pretty big Cameroonian community. In Columbus, so they, like, we had that, because there was actually, like, I forget what was it called, Triska?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, like, the Tri-State Cameroonian Association or something like that, and so it's, like, I think there's two other states that are a part of it, I can't remember which ones, maybe it's, like, Michigan or, in, like, Pennsylvania or something, I don't know, but basically it's, like, a group of Cameroonians that live in these different things, and they get together and they have, like, parties and events and stuff, so I was always growing up with other Cameroonian people.
Mm-hmm.
So they at least had that, and then that's like all their friends were Cameroonian. Like, my parents didn't have any other friends that were not Cameroonian or Nigerian, like West African basically. So, like, they would have people here and there, but it wasn't the same level. Like, you could tell they weren't, like, as comfortable or as close in friendship. So I think that helped them you know, once they had that. But yeah, I know when my dad first was here by himself, he went through a lot of really crazy things. He was like held at gunpoint once by, but it was actually by like an African American, and he had like a really crazy experience. He said he's like, it's kind of like mystical. Like he got held at gunpoint, and he like got yelled at, like, "You Africans need to like get out of here. I wouldn't want to see you here," or something like that. And it was a black guy, African American guy. But like, people don't know this, but the African and the African American community, there's so much like
tension,
hostility between. That's a whole other subject, but
because one of them sees more success.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot of reasons. I think there's reasons on both sides that there's like weirdness around. But yeah. Anyway, so that happened. Then he like put his key. He went to like, he was fumbling through his keys because he was like trying to get away. He thought he was gonna get shot, and he couldn't find his key. And so he put another key that wasn't even his actual car key, and like turned it on. His car started, and he was able to drive away. And he was like, it was like God like changed his key or something, or like made it work or something. Like, I was like, that is so crazy. Like, yeah, he like told me that story like a lot growing up, and I was just like, that's so wild. But yeah, he like had experiences like that. I'm sure he had other ones I'm not thinking of right now. I can't really remember, but weird things like that happened when he first came here, and he didn't really like know anyone. He hadn't obviously gotten married yet, met my mom yet. But yeah, like, I'm sure they went through hell and back.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. This topic is so interesting to me. There are just so many different layers to it. There's so many different patterns that like, so many different little patterns within the big patterns. It's just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like there's a lot of, yeah, there's just a lot that's being worked through all of this stuff. And then it's like, when we get born, if we choose to be, not everyone ends up being this, but we can be like the curse breakers of like all the really toxic stuff that had been passed down. Because we actually have a space, especially now with like social media and the internet, like, we were literally born at the perfect time where we could like get all the information we needed.
Yeah.
To like make those changes, because obviously it's hard to really know, like, how do I like shift these things, you know?
So
I'm really thankful for that. And yeah, like you were saying, like, in the last like year, I've come to really have an appreciation and a gratitude for my parents moving here. I sent my dad an email about that. Like, thank you so much for moving here. I just never really thanked him for that or really like acknowledged it. But I was like, yeah, that was a big deal. And the fact that he was so successful and like created this. And I grew up in a life that I took for granted. I didn't even realize how privileged I was. And even just like when I was born, I was premature. And I was in the hospital for 3 months before I actually came home, like for 91 days. And like the fact that my dad had a job where he could pay for all that medical care, you know what I mean? It's like, I wouldn't even be alive, you know what I mean? So it's like so amazing that they like came here and like created something out of themselves, even surpassing people who were born here, you know? Like, it's a really big accomplishment. So I definitely want to always honor and like put that in perspective, because it is a big deal. And I think as first generation kids, we don't necessarily always see it that way. We can always appreciate it because we're just on the receiving end of like whatever unhealthy stuff is going on or whatever, like stuff that isn't obviously helpful. But I think sometimes like as an adult, it's good to just like reflect on, but like imagine what your life would have been like if your parents never moved here. Like,
right.
Imagine like how much further or like you'd have to go to like accomplish some things that you accomplished just by
being
literally
here.
Just living here, like,
absolutely,
and being born here. That's like really cool.
It is. I think that's a good note to end on, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for sticking around for this conversation. I'm going to leave all of Jani's social media links in the description box below. Definitely stay tuned for her music. She's an absolutely amazing singer.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah, we will catch you in another episode. Have a good rest of your day, you guys.
Hello. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that conversation. And if you did, feel free to leave a review. And check out Alana's podcast. I have it linked in the show notes.
And I hope you're having an amazing, lovely day wherever you are in the world. And I'm sending you so much love. Mwah.